something on the way out. Just so good to see you. Thank you for coming out tonight. I have been excited about being here all week and just had the messages that I felt that God had given me for the services long before I got here, which is unusual for me. A lot of times it's not till I get there. And so that's given me a little bit of opportunity to dig in a little bit and get excited about what we're going to be studying tonight and what we're going to be preaching tonight. We're going to be coming just from one verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And at the conclusion of our message tonight, we're going to be praying for believers to be baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit previously and you're a born-again believer, you are a candidate. But I want to say some things about the baptism with the Holy Spirit as well as just the working of the Holy Spirit to each and every one. It'll apply to each and every one of you here. So don't think, oh, well, he's just going to get those people or try to get that. That's not the point. I really think there's a huge need in the body of Christ today, not just to experience an encounter with God where we are immersed into the power of God's Spirit, but what I'm a little dismayed over is that we're not, as Pentecostals and Charismatics, we're not always displaying what we have. It seems that we've been content to go into a service, get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and say, I got it, and it stops there. And that has to change. That has to change. Because God has given us something supernatural to do his labor with, to do his work with. He's given us something supernatural to live out this Christian life. And again, I understand what Pastor Lincoln said, what he said, the world should be afraid of us, but the world needs to see us. And when we just hide in our churches and hide with our experiences and greet each other and never really impact the world, then we're missing out what God has given us. And what he's given us is a permanent opportunity to be changed and a permanent opportunity to be someone that transforms the world in which we live. So you, we have that. And I'm going to minister that entitled tonight, A Permanent Opportunity. Let's take a look, if you can, one verse, and it'll be my starting place, not my ending, but it'll be the starting place and the focal purpose of the service. Acts 1 and 8, most of you will already be able to quote it. Jesus told his disciples, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost. And while there is much debate about what happened on that particular day, there is absolutely no debate about what I'm about to say. And that's this. By the time the sun set on the day of Pentecost, every single benefit that Jesus Christ died to provide was available for every single human being on the planet. The Holy Spirit came in his fullness, and he hasn't left. So everything Jesus died to provide, if it didn't start earlier, it started on that day. And what he has given us is the power to be a witness, first of all, with our salvation experience. We and Pentecostals, we need to get this right. When someone is born again, when they just accept Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit is intrinsically involved, and he regenerates and he changes and he recreates, and he immerses us into the person of Christ, and then he takes up residence, and he's not a silent partner. He immediately begins to work in us, and you have a permanent opportunity, a permanent comforter that will help you transcend into the image of Christ, to be conformed into the image of Christ. You have a permanent opportunity to be a lifestyle witness. And if you have been born again, then there is a second subsequent work. a second work. Sometimes that work happens immediately after someone is saved, and we see that in the book of Acts as well, Acts 2 and Acts 10. Or it takes a time frame after they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the purpose of the work of the Spirit is different in both circumstances. The first, which is salvation, introduces us to life and living, and the opportunity to walk free from the power of sin and the dominion of sin, as we talked about this morning. The second, subsequent work is primarily endowment with power, where God's power begins to flow through the body of Christ, not just the teacher, not just the preacher, but every single member of the body of Christ is able then to operate in the supernatural for the purpose of winning souls to Christ. It's not just so we can put Pentecostal or charismatic in the titles of our church names. It's not just so that we can lay claim to an idea or something we agree with that group of people. Pentecost is the fastest growing genre of Christendom that exists in the last 100 years, the most influential. But we're losing our influence because we've stopped at an experience and haven't taken full advantage of the opportunity. And so tonight I want to minister a permanent opportunity to you. I want you to get it in your mind. If you have already been baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you ought to be operating in that supernatural power on a consistent basis. You ought to be looking for the Lord to use you in a specific way, in a consistent way, day in and day out. How are you doing in that? Are you saying, oh, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and I spoke with tongues and stopped there? Or are you asking the Lord every single day, what you gave me was a gift so that I might touch this world around me, whoever it may be, whether it's my family or the people at work or the school that I go to. It doesn't matter. God is wanting to use you. Are you looking for God to use you in a supernatural way? We're going to talk about that. And are you letting this presence of the Holy Spirit transform you into the image of Christ? Because we need to see a lifestyle witness. We need to see a bold, anointed witness, the spirit of prophecy working through you. And we need to see signs, miracles, and wonders flowing through the body of Christ, because that's what these experiences are designed to do. And if you've had one of the experiences or both of the experiences, here's my point, here's my message, you have a permanent opportunity. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to say, Lord, you gave me this, now bring it to its highest potential. Work in me. You got to be hungry. You can't just be content to be in a Pentecostal church along with a charismatic fellowship or a people that believe. It was given for something, and you have a permanent opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I already believe that you are here. And as you have said in your word, in the last days you will pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. And Lord, I believe you have done that, you are doing that elsewhere, and you will do that tonight once again. But Father, let us not stop in the experiences that you bring us, but let us take the tools that you grant us so graciously and freely because of what Christ did at Calvary. And let us use them properly to let this world experience all that God has available through us because of what Christ accomplished at Calvary. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. It was during a taping of a study of the Word, as we were talking about this subject, that Brother Swigert coined the terms the twin works of the Holy Spirit. And others may have said it, and of course, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But for me, when he said it, I thought, that's exactly what I want to say. The twin work of the Holy Spirit, the twin works of the Holy Spirit. And they are the two that we've already mentioned. First of all, at salvation, the Holy Spirit begins to work in us in an unprecedented manner and transform us into the image of Christ. After the baptism with the Holy Spirit, an individual is equipped, has the permanent opportunity to operate in a supernatural way to help others come into a knowledge of Christ. Never before in the history of the church has the understanding of these two events been combined successfully as they are now. And the one thing that I've always loved about what the message of the cross is doing is it is combining the dynamic truth of the Holy Spirit at salvation with the dynamic truths of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of Pentecostals don't understand the power that the message of the cross and salvation brings. We're trying to amend that. And there's men and women around the world that I believe the Holy Spirit has been opening that up to. Not just us. We've had the opportunity to be perhaps a spearhead and take the message of the cross to many portions of the world. I've traveled since 2001 into so many different churches explaining this process. But here's the point. The beauty of it is that what God does for us at salvation and what God does for us in the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we're finally starting to see those two things combine instead of us fighting one another over, oh, that does, and that does, oh, that does, and he doesn't. This message is showing us there's some things in our Pentecostal charismatic background we had wrong. And the other folk, well, they didn't accept at first the Pentecostal charismatic way. But listen, I'll say it this way. The first 80 years of Pentecost, starting from about 1901 to 1980, 380 million people were baptized with the Holy Spirit and joined Pentecostal denominations. In the age of the Spirit, which was the 100 years between 1900 and 2000, those 100 years, 500 million people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, and you can't ignore 500 million people. If it was just six of us on a hilltop somewhere, all boarded up behind a stockade and not letting anybody else in, proclaiming something that God had done, that might be different. But 500 million, and that was 25 years ago. So what has God done since? The problem is that we separated ourselves and we fought over what is and what isn't, and then we fought over, well, this is what this is and this is what this is, instead of doing what we needed to do, which I now see happening, and that's coming to understand what the Holy Spirit was given for at salvation and what the Holy Spirit was given for at the baptism with the Holy Spirit and beginning to operate in what that purpose is. Instead of fighting one another, And this powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has happened, it has I'll say it carefully, it's kind of kicked cessationism in the back pocket, because they don't do it anymore, and 500 million people say, oh yeah, he does. You have to kind of take a second look. And even among the Reformed tradition and the Calvinists and some that have been evangelical and the Baptists, and that there's a move of God happening, they're coming out of that. And we as Pentecostals are learning what salvation did, and there's a union beginning of sorts, if you will. We're still all messed up. As Brother Swigert says, we're all squirreled up. Donnie just says, we're weird. So I understand the mess, but Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge will increase. And he's not talking just about IT. That is what a lot of people think. But in the text in Daniel, it actually indicates that there is an increase in an understanding of God's word in the last days. And I see that. We've learned more about the things of God consistently in the last 100 years than at any other time in the history of the church. More understanding of prophecy, more understanding of what God has done, more understanding now of what salvation brings, what the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want you to think about that, because I've got to ask you the question tonight, are you operating in the fullness of what you've received. Do you know what you've received? Are you cognizant? Do you understand what you have? And are you just content to say, oh, I have it? Or are you letting it work and produce a witness for the world around you? Are you letting God do something? It's not just enough to be a member at Christ Unveiled Ministries or to be a member of Family Worship Center or like SBN or whatever it is that you do or that you like or that you belong to. That's wonderful. But you belong to Jesus and His power is living in you. And you need to go ahead and let somebody else know about the wonderful things that you have. How are you doing with that? Well, we're just going to leave it up to Pastor. He's on the internet and he's going to do great. No, it's not just up to us. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon some flesh, upon all flesh. Well, he did it for a reason. And the cross is what made it all available to us. Before the cross, the Holy Spirit was greatly limited. Let me go there for a minute. The Old Testament saints experienced some of the power of God's Spirit, but it was very selective. There were priests, there were prophets, there were workers, and under the Old Testament, what would happen is the Holy Spirit, who was housed in heaven, would come and fall upon them, work through them, and when the job was done or the work was over, then he would leave and return to heaven. Now, he can do that just like this. I wish I had two fingers, but like this. He can do that just like that. And so it wasn't a big problem, but the thing was sin. Sin stopped the Holy Spirit, this member of the triune Godhead, from working consistently in people. And God chose just a very few, the prophets and the writers of the scriptures and some of the leaders and judges, and to have an outpouring of the Spirit through them. But when the job was done, the Spirit of God would leave. And he couldn't stay. So listen, everything that they received in the source or in the process of power in the old covenant was temporary. Even through the time frame of Jesus' ministry, when he sends out the disciples, he gives them power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. He gave them power, but it didn't remain. They came back and said, woohoo, even the devil is subject to us in your name. And he said, wonderful, but be glad that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you say, well, they had power and they used it from then on. No, that's not true. Remember, when Jesus left, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. So even during the time frame of Christ's ministry and the Old Testament times, everything that God did through his people in the form of the Holy Spirit was only a temporary process because sin had stopped the Holy Spirit from working through the body of people that existed on the earth. Sin hindered the flow of the Holy Spirit and the work that the Holy Spirit wanted to do in people and through people. He couldn't because he couldn't abide where sin was still dominant. So everything in the Old Testament of a supernatural measure that was done, Elisha, Elijah, Isaiah, all of them, Samson, all of them, was a temporary endowment of power that would come and that would leave. And in the Old Testament, there really isn't, you're not going to find much, if anything at all, of a mention of any kind of internal work whatsoever. There are plenty of promises that point to a time in the future when God would do an internal work. But if there was anything done at all, it was very limited and it was only temporary. It couldn't be as it is today because the cross had not been accomplished and sin had not been paid for, and before the Holy Spirit could live and dwell and work consistently, permanently in the lives of human beings, the cross had to be a reality. The Lamb had to be slain so that he could take away the sin of the world. And when you accept Christ, that sin stain, that dominion of sin, that positioning that sin has put you in is wiped away, and you become a new creation, his hidden in Christ. And now the Holy Spirit can come inside, and he's not just there temporary. He's not just there on occasion. He comes to stay. He comes to live in you. So every single one of you can be a lifestyle witness today, unlike what the Old Testament saints could not be, because they could only work through willpower. They could only try the best that they knew how to operate, and it was limited, and failures abounded because they didn't have the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit that was promised for New Covenant people. So by the day again, that on the day that the sun set, on the day of Pentecost, all of the benefits of what the Holy Spirit could do was granted. It was available. He was available. Not just to visit, but to move in. Not just temporary, but permanent. Because of what Christ did. Do you know that there's a blood covering? Christ's blood covers you, and that's why the Holy Spirit can live inside of you. It's not because of how good you act. It's not because of how good you are. It's not because of all the wonderful things you do, and I'm sure you do a lot of wonderful things. But it's all about what Jesus did at Calvary that made it available to you that he could live in you. He doesn't recognize your goodness. He recognizes the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to you because you placed your faith in a God that loved you and gave his son on your behalf. Amen. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to you, and the Holy Spirit now lives in you if you're born again. And you need every day to be saying, God, take me to my highest potential in Christ. Change me and take out of my life what you don't want. Put in me what you want. Get rid of the snarly attitudes and the ungodliness that surrounds my life and my thinking and my get rid of it. How are you doing on that? You have a permanent opportunity to be changed. You don't ever have to remain the same. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You don't have to beg God to do something about it. He's already done something about it. And it's a permanent opportunity on the inside of you. So when the Holy Spirit came and was established, and again, I won't go into the details of timing or the arguments of timing. I'll just simply say that by the time the sun set on the day of Pentecost, being a lifestyle witness, producing the fruit of the Spirit, which you can't produce, right? You can't produce it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit's working in you is what produces the fruit. Love, joy, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, etc., etc. That's a witness to the world around us that we're nothing like the rest of the world. We don't respond like the rest of the world. When somebody cuts us off on the Dallas freeway, we don't flip them our IQ. Some of you get that later. Do we? We have an opportunity to be dominated, led, changed, conformed into the image of Christ by a supernatural power that resides on the inside of every believer, and the world needs to see it in you. I don't get to be where you are. I don't go to your job. I'm not at your house. You are. So that means you've got to be the witness. Salvation saves, yes. Your name is written down, yes. But you have a permanent opportunity to be changed by faith in Christ and what he's done and transformed into the supernatural image of the nature and character of the God who loved you and saved you. You have that. How are you doing with that? You hear the challenge? How are you doing with that? Is it a priority? Is it something that you think about? Is it something that you pursue? I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about, Lord, just change me. Take out of me what isn't supposed to be there. Put in me what you want. Let me be your witness. That's all accomplished at salvation. this ability, this permanent ability to be changed. He only asks that you exhibit faith in his Son and what his Son has done for you. And the Holy Spirit honors Christ's sacrifice and works in you. Now, the second aspect of what I want to talk about here is two aspects of witness, but I believe that it's connected supernaturally to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, we teach that the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I'll have to qualify it, the Pentecostal baptism with the Holy Spirit, because there's different people calling the baptism with the Holy Spirit different things. But the Pentecostal baptism with the Holy Spirit is a second subsequent work. How many's heard that term? Yeah, okay, good. What does that mean? That means that after the truly born-again experience happens, whether it's instantaneously or time passes, you have an opportunity to be filled with power for service. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you a superstar. It doesn't make you the hottest thing on the planet. And so when I hear Pentecostal, well, we're proud, we're Pentecostal and proud, I want to puke. Because the gifts of the Spirit aren't here to elevate men. They're here to elevate Christ. That's what they're here for. So that there's a supernatural witness in the world to the people of the world that this Jesus that we talk about is real. So the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a second subsequent work. Now there are, I'm not going to spend time here, but I'm going to mention it because some of you still might be struggling with this idea of a second work. When you go to the Bible and you study the book of Acts, there are five examples of people first being filled with the baptism with the Holy Spirit after they were saved. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, let's see, Acts 2, 8, 9, 10, and 19. Acts 2, day of Pentecost. Acts 8, in Samaria. Acts 9, Saul's transformation. Acts 10, Cornelius' house. Acts 19, the Ephesian disciples that Paul comes into. Of the five examples, two, Acts 2 and Acts 10, show us that that second subsequent work happens immediately after salvation. But in Acts 8, Acts 9, and Acts 19, there is time that passes from the salvation experience to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. See, the doctrine of subsequence is proven through the passing of time. If this was salvation, then this is something else. If this happened at 10 o'clock and this happened at 10:30, 30 minutes has passed, it's different than what you got at 10. And if it's 2 days or two weeks or 3 weeks or 4 years or whatever it is, if it's different, you've proven that there's a second subsequent work. So Acts 8, Acts 9, and Acts 19 prove that this second subsequent work exists. Out of the five examples that exist, there is initial physical evidence in Acts 2, and Acts 8, and Acts 10, and Acts 19. So four out of the five show us that there is an initial physical evidence when this second work of the Holy Spirit happens in a life. And in Acts 2, and Acts 10, and Acts 19, that initial physical evidence is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So if you just go by what the Bible says, and you say, okay, this is what happens, it's a second subsequent work, there is an initial physical evidence when this happens. Listen, when you're born again, there is no initial physical evidence. The only evidence of your born again experience, you don't necessarily see anything, but you will watch a life change. But you don't see anything. In the baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's a visible physical evidence that something has happened. And then in, again, three of the five instances, it's speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So when we pray for people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, we're going to believe that the initial physical evidence that's going to happen is tongues in every case, not in some cases, not in every now and then cases, but in every case, because we're following the biblical model. We're following what the Bible says about this second subsequent work. Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So it's available, and you can prove it through the Bible. But again, we have stopped at the reception of the baptism with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We're just, okay, I got it, and we stop. How do I know we stop? Look at our nation. I can tell you, we're not operating in the supernatural power that God has designed for us to operate in. If we have this supernatural power, the same power that's described and exhibited in God's people in the book of Acts, then we should be seeing our nation impacted by this group of people that have supernatural power. So I call us as Pentecostals and Charismatics to account. We've slowed things down. We're not using what we have. We're not operating in what we've been given. And I'm preaching better than your amen. So let's just take a listen for a moment. As we travel through that, I didn't come to beat you up. I came to encourage you. Because in the last days, he said he would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And when he does, then there's a purpose and a reason. And the first witness that I want to talk about after the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a bold, anointed witness. And some call this, appropriately so, the Spirit of prophecy. This is a supernatural equipping for God's people to speak the gospel. Born again, live the gospel. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, speak the gospel. Open up your mouth and let God flow through you. Listen, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Woohoo, I got, oh, wait. And your sons and your daughters, look out now. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. How you doing on that? How you doing on that? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? How you doing on that? Are you letting God use you with a powerful announcement of who Christ is and what Christ has done? Because the baptism with the Holy Spirit is granted and given, not just so we can go, woohoo, I'm Pentecostal, but so that you can have supernatural power to prophesy to the nation, to the people that you know, to the world around you. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is a gift from the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, we see it exhibited in the life of Christ. Listen, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said this, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, which the gospel does, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How you doing on that, sons and daughters of God? You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been moved upon by the power of the Spirit. Have you just settled for the experience, or are you going ahead and taking a permanent opportunity to ask God to let you be the one that prophesies at the next school meeting? Let you be the one that prophesies in your home. Let you be the one that speaks and an anointed, bold witness as to the things of God in your world and in your life. How you doing in that? See, it's one thing to agree with a theology. It's another thing to experience that truth. But it's not enough just to experience the truth. We need to use it. In Acts chapter 4, the people said this. They prayed. And they said, Lord, behold the threatenings of the people in Jerusalem. And grant unto thy servants, listen, this is what they were praying for, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. How you doing on that? That with all boldness, Lord, you baptized me with the Holy Spirit on such and such a day and such a time. Thank you. It was so awesome. I got my Pentecostal diploma. That they may speak. See, they got filled and then they said, Lord, fill us with your power and give us the opportunity to speak. Acts 4. That's the purpose of the baptism. Not just so we can be Pentecostal. That's the purpose. That's what it's designed to help us become. That's what it's designed to help us do. Now, there is no condemnation, so get rid of it if you're beating yourself up. But change it. Change it. Next time when you go to prayer, and hopefully that's tonight or tomorrow, when you get up, and you say, Lord, grant me boldness. You've given me this supernatural gift. And there is an unction that lives on the inside of me. When I first got saved, man, I couldn't stop talking about the Lord. I mean, and this was even before I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. In my little church, we had a small Pentecostal church that I was going to, about 25 on a Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, my pastor always said, anybody have a testimony? Well, I'm the guy that just came out of drugs and alcohol. I have been on the job all day thinking about what I could testify to on Wednesday night. And everybody got to know that's the youngster. He's the young guy. He's just all excited about Jesus. And the pastor, after about a month or so of me being there, would say, anybody have anything to say? And everybody just turned and look at me. Man, I was looking for somebody to tell him about Jesus. I was wanting to say what God had done in my life. I wanted to share what God had opened up in the Word to me that day. I wanted to let people know how Jesus had worked in my life. I wanted to let them know. And I wasn't even baptized with the Holy Ghost yet. I used to look for people hitchhiking, saying, then when they get in this car, they're going to be able to hear something really good. How you doing with that? That ought to be the design of our hearts. That's the purpose. And the baptism gives us that supernatural ability to speak to the world. And you just listen. You receive everything that you receive by faith. You activate everything that you have received by faith. Lord, this is why you gave it to me. This is why you've granted it me that gift. Now, help me to use it. I believe you want me to use it. I believe you want me to be sensitive. I believe you want me to operate in this power that you've given me, not just to belong to a group or call myself a part of something or this and that, but supernatural power for the ability to operate in the spirit of prophecy, a bold, anointed witness. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible talks about a supernatural witness. In Acts 4, they didn't just pray that with all boldness we may speak your word, Acts 4 and 30, but they also prayed this, Lord, that by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hebrews 2 and 4 says this, that as the early church went throughout the world, listen, they declared Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God bore them witness. How? Hebrews 2 and 4. With signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The supernatural witness should accompany the Pentecostal experience. Supernatural. Supernatural experiences. And it's not you being some kind of Superman in God at all. It's just you humbly being a servant, letting God use you, and then speaking the word and believing that God will confirm the word with signs following. Amen. Signs and wonders aren't pointing to you, they're pointing to Christ. So as we declare the truth about Jesus, That's really easy for people to discount until under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you look at the lame man and said, rise up and walk. It isn't about you. It's not about what you earn. It's not about how holy you are. It's not about what power you have in you in the sense of you earning it. It doesn't work that way. You have to believe that that's what God wants to do for you as a result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's your job to believe that. How are you doing at that? It's your job to believe that God wants to utilize you after you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit with signs, miracles, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Most of us, and I'm putting myself in this box, I was telling Keith at break this morning, lately I'm looking at myself and I say, listen, I've got the theology. I can explain the gifts of the Spirit, but you know, I'm not asking, Lord, show me how to work in these, how to operate in these. That's a shame. I'm kicking myself. I'm saying, Lord, show me how these gifts work. Show me how to operate in them. I'm supposed to believe that this is what the baptism was for. Signs, miracles, and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And Peter, when he comes to that man laying outside the gate beautiful, he doesn't boast upon himself. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You know what he believed? That he had a permanent opportunity to operate in the supernatural. How are you doing on that? Do you believe that God has given you a permanent opportunity through the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in the supernatural? I'm not doing as good as I want to, but I'm kicking myself between the back pockets and saying, Mr. Larson, you need to get down and start praying and ask God to show you how to operate in this, and you need to start believing instead of just, I'm a teacher. I can tell you what the gifts are for. I can define them, but are they evident in us? See, that's what I think we're missing. And I'm putting myself at the front of that line. So I'm saying, Lord, show me. Give me the knowledge of what these gifts are for. Show me how they operate. Let me see it. Not just to be, and Peter, again, I go back to him in Acts chapter 3, when he actually saw that supernatural power exhibited in the man at the gate beautiful. All the people started running to him, and, whoo, you're some great thing. And Peter said, oh, wait a minute. Why are you looking so earnestly on us as though we, by our own power or holiness, have made this man to walk? Peter didn't say, oh, I prayed for 6 hours last night, therefore God used me. He didn't say, I fasted for 3 days, and now God used me. He said, why are you looking at us as though through our own power or our own acts of holiness we have made this man walk? In Acts 3:16, he defines it. Listen, he said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So the lifestyle witness that conforms us into the image of Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit we receive at salvation, and he operates in us when our faith is properly centered in Christ and what he's done. He responds to that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit for service is, again, a faith issue. Are you believing for God to utilize what he gave you? Are you taking the permanent opportunity that you have to say, Lord, help me be that bold, anointed witness. Let the spirit of prophecy fall on me at the appropriate time. I'm not talking about standing on a street corner and preaching to everything that moves. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit. I'm talking about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and knowing just when he wants you to open your mouth and knowing when to practice your shut-ups. Knowing that, and then at the right time, at the right minute, you're positioned and God gives you that. Are you believing for that? Because all that we have, all that we receive is always received and activated by faith, and not faith in us. Faith in the truth that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he hasn't left. And for everyone that's saved, he lives on the inside of you, ready to conform you to the image of Christ, only asking that you believe that Jesus died to provide you with this. And those of us that have gone on to that second subsequent work, we need to start believing that God has baptized us with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, not just so that we could join a group, but so that we would have supernatural power for both the spirit of prophecy, a bold, anointed, spoken witness, and that we would operate as a supernatural people in signs and miracles and wonders, pointing to Christ through something that people can't deny. And it's time that we rise up to the occasion. It's time we begin to challenge ourselves personally. We need to start believing for the supernatural exhibition of signs, miracles, and wonders. And like Peter, don't start taking credit because you're believing, right? That's what you're designed to do. That's the purpose of all this. Does that make sense to you? So we need to not just have an experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We need to believe after we've received that that power is available to us and in us for a specific reason and a specific purpose. We have, ladies and gentlemen, a permanent opportunity to be used by God in a supernatural measure. A couple weeks ago, my daughter preached at the church. I was going to send it to John MacArthur, but I actually like John MacArthur a lot. I like his teaching. He just doesn't like some of my Pentecostal views. But he doesn't believe in women preachers. But while she was preaching, she said this about revival. She said, why are you asking God to send revival when the opportunity for revival lives on the inside of you? Amen. We keep asking God to send something down. He's already done that. When are we going to start believing that it's here? When are we going to start believing that it's available in the last days? I will pour out of my spirit upon all. We're acting like he hasn't done it yet. Oh, God, come down. Oh, God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, God, come down. Oh, God, come down. We're acting like he hasn't done it yet. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, began to pour out of his innermost being the Holy Spirit and the life of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. It started on the day of Pentecost. And because the Spirit is now the active member of the Godhead in the atmosphere, supernatural things happen. Why do you think, okay, go to the day of Pentecost for just a minute. Peter preached to the same people Jesus had been preaching to. And 3,000 of them got saved. Now, there's no one more anointed than Jesus. What was different? The Holy Spirit is now in the atmosphere. And Jesus said when he came that he would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when we watch Brother Swigert's crusades of yesteryear in the 80s when he was in those huge coliseums, and we see hundreds, sometimes thousands of people running across grassy corridors or coming down aisles to get saved, that is in part the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the speaker, but it's the promise of God sending the Holy Spirit into the community of the atmosphere of the earth that the cross made available that allows the Holy Spirit to make mass evangelism possible. It's not just you and I. It's the fact that Christ paid the price to get the Holy Spirit here as the member of the triune Godhead who's always here. He's always here. That's why when we preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he can draw not just one, two, three, but many that can come because he's in the atmosphere and he's living in you. And if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's a supernatural potential waiting to come out of those who will simply believe. We're acting like, oh God, send revival. Oh God, send the outpouring of your Spirit when he's already poured it. And he said, why don't you believe me for what I've already made available, for what I've already given you? We're waiting on God, and he's been waiting on us. I don't have to beg God tonight to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's something he wants to do. His son died to provide it for you, and I want you to have it. But if you're here tonight and you have never been filled with the Spirit, we will pray for you. But when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, whether it happens tonight or on another night, I don't want you to leave that place and say, aha, I've got it. I want you to leave that place and say, I now have a permanent opportunity to operate in the supernatural on behalf of my Lord. Lord, teach me how to believe. Teach me how to operate in what you've given. Teach me how to let the Holy Spirit conform me into the image of Christ. Teach me. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this might not be the normal, let's get filled with the Holy Spirit message that you hear, but I think that this type of message is what we as Pentecostals and the Pentecostal and charismatic community need to hear. Stop waiting on God when he's waiting on you to believe. He's already equipped you, if he has, with a permanent opportunity to operate in the supernatural. Will we take advantage of this permanent opportunity? Would you stand with me, please? Could I get, is she still available to play? Anybody? Oh, it's not major because God does what he wants to do without music. But I want to call those of you to the front tonight that have never been filled with the baptism with the Holy Spirit as I've described it. And I just want to say that there's no qualifiers. If you are saved, you qualify. Justification gives you a sense of perfection that already belongs to you. Christ has given it to you. Oh, he wants us free from all manners of sin and evil and wrongdoing. But if you're born again, justification will allow you to receive gifts because gifts are gifts. You don't earn them. You qualify for this gift simply because you're born again. And we don't have to beg God to do something he has already said in his word that he wants to do. He wants to fill us. He does. He wants to fill us with supernatural power. But he also wants us to know what that power is for. So tonight, the first step and the first part of this altar call is this. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is a second subsequent work, and you want us to pray with you that God would fill you tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to get out from where you're standing and come along and just stand right here. Anybody at all? Come on. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is what we want. This is the right move. This is the statement that says, I believe that God wants to fill me with supernatural power. I may not understand it all, but that's okay. If you're born again, you qualify. If you're born again, you qualify. Isn't that wonderful? You qualify. You qualify. Anybody else would say, Brother Larson, I want you to pray that I would be initially filled. I'm going to ask for those of you that are Spirit-filled already, to come and stand behind these. Don't pray for them yet, but come. A few of you, please. A man with a man, ladies with a lady. Come on. I need your help. I need your faith. They need your faith. Come on. And we're kind of outnumbered with ladies, so fellas, come on. Come on. We want to pray for these folk. This is God's house. This is a place of joy. This is a place of supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. We believe it tonight. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to simply lift your hands and pray a prayer of faith that says, Jesus, fill me. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to beg, because this is what he died to provide. None of us here can baptize you or fill you with the Holy Spirit. We can't. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And he wants you filled. So after we pray, we're simply going to lay hands on you. And if you would, please, speaking with other tongues, those of you that are Spirit-filled. And what's going to happen is this. Down in your innermost being, in your spirit, you're going to hear a language or words that aren't anything you've ever learned. It'll be in your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit giving you the utterance. When you hear and sense that down in your innermost being, you speak what you hear. Well, you say, Brother Larson, that's me speaking. You're speaking what the Spirit of God is giving you. You're, by faith, stepping out and saying what it is that the Spirit is placing in to your spirit. I can't make that happen. But in an atmosphere like this, it's going to happen. I believe it. It's going to happen. Now, remember that you can't speak in two languages at the same time. So you don't have to beg and you don't have to plead. You reach out by faith the way that you're comfortable with. But remember, everything we receive from God, we receive by faith. We don't earn it. He only asks that you believe that this is for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Simple prayer. Would you just say it this way? Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for saving me. I thank you for saving me. But tonight I'm asking that you would fill me with a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you will in Jesus' name. I believe you will in Jesus' name. And now I receive, now I receive, now I receive the Holy Spirit. Lay hands on him and pray for him. That's it right there, sister. By faith. Right now, in the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Right now, in the name of the Lord. Hey, Alara Baba Baba Kata, Shandalara Bahaya. Hey, Alara Baba Baba Kata, Shandalara Bahaya. Father, in the name of Jesus, baptize my sister with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues right now, in the name that is above every name. Hey, Alara Baba Baba Kata, Shandalara Bahaya. Hey, Alara Baba Baba Kata, Shandalara Bahaya. Hey, Alara Baba Baba Kata, Shandalara Bahaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it flow, brother. Let it flow out of your innermost being. Oh, Jesus, come on, worship folk, wherever you are tonight. Oh, we believe you tonight, Father, for the supernatural, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Let it come right now. You need a new filling. You need a refilling. If you've been filled again or filled before, you need filled again. Right where you stand, you can let the Holy Ghost begin to flow. Right where you stand, you can receive a flush, infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit on my sister. Thank you, Lord, for our brother who's seeking you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, Alarababakata, Shandalarabakaya. Hey, Alarabaka, Father, in the name of the Lord, I'm asking the power of the Holy Ghost to overshadow this young life, this young mind, this child, this young lady, Father, in the name of Jesus. We believe that the power of God is for her. We believe that the gifts are for her. We believe with her tonight that you want to fill her with supernatural power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He alarababakata shandalarabahaya. Hey alarabakata shatalarabahaya. Hey alarabakata shandalarabaha. Hey alarabakata shatalarabahaya. Come on, let the Lord touch you tonight. Let the Lord fill you tonight. Hallelujah. Young lady, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit you feel. Just let Him flow to you. Let Him flow through you. He loves you. He loves you with an undying love. He's going to use you. He's going to utilize you in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every name. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Kolorabata shandalarabakia larabahai. Hey, alarababakata shandalarabakaya. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, alarabababakata shandalarabakaya. He alarabata shandalarabahaya. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for a body of Christ that is empowered by your Spirit to go forth into this world and transform it in the name that is above every name. Every heart that's hungry, fill it, Lord. Every life that's empty, fill it, Lord. And those of us that have received it, Lord, help us to walk in the opportunity that we have. Halarabakoto shandalarabahaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look at me just a second, those of you that came. Some of you I watched go through to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Others are still asking. Let me say something to you. First of all, I couldn't be more proud of you than ever, because you took a chance and you came down and you said, that's what I want. And some of you were filled. I watched you come through speaking with other tongues. Now, you've received something. Continue to use it. But once you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you'll yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues at any moment, at any time of any day. Utilize that gift. Utilize it. Let God flow through you with it. Now, when I first started seeking the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I didn't get it. I kept asking, every time there was an altar call, I'm the guy that was up front. And I was disappointed, and I thought, I didn't get it. But I kept coming. And I kept believing. And I kept asking. And there was a day and time when I least expected it, that all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit hit me, and very softly, I thought God was going to take my tongue and throw me down on the floor and make me wiggle. I didn't know, but very softly, very gently, he just began to flow through me as I spoke with other tongues. You've been asking, and at any moment in time, it could happen. You could go out to your car, open the door, and all of a sudden, here it comes. You could be doing laundry tomorrow or in the store. You could be doing anything. You could be in church service tomorrow, would be good. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit will hit you. You are a candidate for God's power. Don't you be embarrassed, and don't you let the devil tell you, well, you didn't get it, so it's not real. It's real. Jesus. It's real. And I want you to know how special you are. Both those that have been filled and those that are not. If you've been filled, don't let the devil tell you you didn't get something.
That's right.
Utilize the gift that you have. Operate in it. I know Pastor will encourage you in that regard, he and his staff and his family. But now that we understand what it's for, those of us that are filled, let's turn this world upside down. Let's start asking God, show me how to operate in what you've given. And let's not just settle for an experience. Let's take that experience to the place God wants it to become. Active and impacting other people in the world. Amen? Amen. Thank you for being with us tonight. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can anybody say amen? Glory to God. We are so glad that you are with us tonight. We praise God for the move of God tonight. As he said, as you've been filled, continue to stay filled. Be being filled, the Bible says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we invite you to come back tomorrow morning. We will be back here at 9 a.m. and another service at 11 a.m. So please join us there. If you missed anything, we had two services this morning. You can see us online, christunveiled.org, and you can catch up on the services and watch those. Those are available in our sermon archives. If you haven't given, there's all kinds of ways you can give. We thank you so much for all those that give that make it possible for us to have this meeting. We do need your support. There's also baskets in the back on your way out. Also on your way out, make sure you visit the product table and take a look at what's available there. Praise the Lord. I think that's all my announcements. We'll let you know we love you. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.